We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Thanks for being here, WTIC. We will mix calls in on procreation as we do rants. Stephen Meriden. Hi, Steve.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you for answering my call. It's been a while since I've been hanging on here. My thing was to fix that bridge. How about the insurance company that the boat should have had, right? They could pay for it.
Do they not have an insurance company?
I mean, they should have. I mean, you know, you drive a car. I mean, you drive a boat. You got to have insurance if you hit something.
Well, but have you heard anything about it?
No, I haven't heard anything. That's why I was saying I bring up the subject. And also, when they rebuild a bridge, they just slap a toll on it, and that'll pay for it. We don't have to pay for all that stuff.
Well, we pay it in the form of a toll for going over the bridge. I mean, the money still comes
down there. Yeah, and I won't use that bridge. I don't use bridges over here. If I had to pay tolls in Connecticut, I was against the tolls in Connecticut when they had them in the beginning.
Well, I'm glad for that.
Hey, I'm a regular Pastor Will caller, and also I'll let you know on my family. I didn't get married till I was 30. I had two wonderful children. Mm-hmm. They got a good education. I couldn't be with them all the time because I was in the food business, and I was with one of the prominent caterers in the state for a long time. And you work, holidays and nights
and
weekends,
evenings and stuff. Sure.
But my wife took good care of them, and like I said, you got to be a parent. You can't be a friend to your kids. You got to be a parent.
But you've got no regrets, Steve.
I got no regrets. Nope. They're doing all right. They got good jobs. I'll probably leave them a bundle if I don't spend it before I get, I'm 82 years old, and I'm not the average 82 person.
You sound like just a youngster. Thank you, Steve, for calling, and I look forward to talking with you again soon. Please. 860-522-9842. Rant line number 751-4698. We've got rants coming up in just a few minutes, along with more phone calls on this topic of how many kids is the right amount to have. Did you make a mistake and have too many or too few? Let's get a traffic update. We go to Ian Stark in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
All righty, we've got some more calls to take on family size decisions, family decisions, procreation decisions, because young people today having so many fewer kids, about half as many as people 70 years ago would have had. And that the rate now at 1.6 children per person or per woman, now I forget which it was, is about half what it was, and it's below the rate of being able to maintain the population, which is over two kids per person or per woman. Your input on that, please, and we'll intersperse some rants as we go along. 860-522-9842. Jean in Middlebury, thank you for your patience. Jean, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to speak for myself. I did want it, and I did have two kids, two wonderful kids. Mm-hmm. They turned out good. They didn't do drugs. They didn't end up in jail.
Hallelujah.
So, for the people that don't want to have kids, that's up to them. But for me, it was a wonderful choice, and I don't regret a bit.
Good. That's nice
to
hear.
I mean, not everybody's born to be a mother or a father.
Yep.
But
really a lot of people get made into a mother or father through the process of doing it, don't you think?
Yeah, well, nobody's born to really take a course and say, it's a book out there to say how to do it.
Yep.
It just comes natural.
Yes.
If you come from a good basic family and good morals, you'll do good.
All right. Thank you so much, Jean. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Aaron in Goshen. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, how are we doing today? So anyways, I will say this. Without kids, I would not be nearly as successful as I am. Definitely put the hammer down on trying to provide overdrive.
You mean it made you responsible?
Exactly. It made me responsible. It also made me, use my time better.
Mm-hmm.
And allowed me to become very, very successful at what I put my mind to. Because it's, you're no longer providing for yourself. I mean, I was the type of guy that you catch a fish, you just need to eat one fish a day, you just catch one fish. Now you got a lot of people counting on you, you got to catch a lot more fish.
Yeah.
So I had to ramp up my my productivity, and I would have never had that push, right?
Yeah.
If I didn't have looking at other people that, when that happens, you go, I'm never going to fail you, right? If you're a good father, if you're a good person, you look at your kids and you make a promise to them the day that you hold them that I'm never going to let you down. And that's what has pushed me to the successful level that I'm at. I'm also scared for America, like you brought up, with our population declining. I mean, once the boomers are kind of out, like, we have a humongous hole to fill as far as population density goes. And I think people should have as many kids as they want. I don't believe in two kids. I think if you're going to do it, do four. Like, let's try and repopulate repopulate America again. Because, like I said, we're going to have we have some strange times ahead of us as the majority of our population passes on.
We and certainly do, Aaron. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm just pushing a little to get everybody in. George in Hebron. Hi, George.
Hi, how are you?
Go ahead, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I got a little rant about Ram High School. I caught the tail end of that last conversation, two or three, before the before the weather came on and the news. And that guy is right. Ram High School is one of the worst schools in the state. The reason being is there's four or five, including Columbia, schools that attend these schools in Hebron. They've got four different schools. They go from kindergarten to second grade, which is Gilead Hill School. And then from there, they go to Hebron Elementary to sixth grade. And from sixth grade, they go to the junior high in Ram from seventh to ninth. Then they go to high school from 10 to 12.
Okay.
Way too many schools. Nobody has any money. I don't understand why they're doing this. We're just overpopulating these schools. For instance, last year, my daughter went to school in Hebron. She comes home with her pictures, and she says to me, "That used to be a boy, and now it's a girl." I was appalled. I called up the school. They said, "It's a HIPAA law. We can't tell you." My daughter, she's 11 years old. She's coming home telling me these things. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. My three kids that did go to school there, they had them down as special education children, so they get more money from the state. My daughter, who was supposedly, quote-unquote, special education, graduated in her junior year from high school just to get the heck out of Ram. So I'm in the middle of a big argument with these people. I'm hiring an attorney. I'm going to be going to PPTs with my new attorney. It's just terrible.
George, do me a favor. Report back on how it goes, okay? It's great to hear from you. Thank you so much. Craig, go ahead, sir.
Wow. My best friend just moved her kids out of Ram to Georgia 2 months ago.
Because of the school quality or?
No. Other reasons that we talk about on other topics. So I'm going to try to summarize my life in a quick phone call. I was in my 20s, living the rock star lifestyle. I had my boat, had my Harley, my condo. I'd never thought about having kids, marriage, maybe some point down the road. And then I met a woman and I fell in love. and she had two kids, and I met them, and I fell in love two more times. So here I am, 28 years old. Fast forward 2 years, I'm married, and I have two kids. Fast forward 2 years later, I'm coaching T-ball for my son.
All right.
And things changed and got real in a hurry. And I would never change anything. Kids was not something I ever thought of, but they changed my life in ways, and I think I changed their lives in ways that wouldn't have happened otherwise. So absolutely no regrets. I would do it all over again. The only thing I would caution people about that are in that situation is if you haven't prepared for a family and a house and kids in school financially, it hits you hard. And you've got to learn to adapt and, you know, move on your feet. And that was really difficult for us for a long time. We've been very fortunate that it worked out really well, but I could see where it wouldn't for some people.
Yes, well, a lot of stuff in life requires a lot of focus, and that's part of, I think, what children and having responsibility for people brings to life. Thank you, Craig, for sharing that personal story. 860-522-9842. Rant line number 860-751-4698. Let's play some rants.
Hey, good afternoon. Governor Led Lamont, the big dummy. Where are all these state troopers that you're talking about that are supposed to be on the highway? I'm currently on 91 North in Wethersfield at 5:27 p.m., holding steady at 70 miles an hour, and there are cars going by me 80 miles an hour, 85 miles an hour, 90 miles an hour, weaving in and out of traffic like I'm standing still. This is what you get when you live in a Democratic-run state, lawlessness. Everybody's out here doing whatever the hell they want to do, breaking the law. It's lawlessness out here. And that's what you get when you live in a Democratic-run state. Vote them out, peeps. Vote them out.
Thank you so much for that.
Oh, come on, man.
Hi, I just heard you speaking to someone else about SNAP benefits, and it seems like you were kind of, I don't know, not so nice about SNAP benefits. Sir, I'm actually applying for SNAP benefits, and you obviously have my number. So if you'd like to talk to someone who's actually trying to do it instead of just complaining about everything. And, oh, by the way, this it's getting more difficult to listen to your program and the gentleman before you as well. And I know you're editing and you're not going to listen to all this, and that's fine, sir. You have a nice life. I'm sorry to have bothered you.
You know, I don't have a personal grudge against you that you're applying for SNAP benefits. I think that if you you pay the taxes on them, so you have a right to apply for them. I just don't think that we should be living in a country where money is taken from people who go to work every day to give to other people who aren't getting ahead. Those should be personal decisions. People should donate to charity. Charities should support people who need help in their community. And that was a better business model. It's not that I'm mean-spirited or anything. It's because I know that the thing that made us such a wealthy, successful country is having small government that doesn't take money from people who work and make it harder to get by in life and distort our system of government so that you have the rigged system, the broken system that we have today.
3/26/24. Hello, Todd. John here. Helping is good. But how much food at schools is thrown away? Each school must document how much food is thrown away. And if there's too much thrown away, that school gets no more free.
If we followed John's law, we would have a much better state and country.
Hey, Todd, just calling in. I was listening to the interview with Chris Paul, and I just want to say, Chris Paul, I mean, this guy is so knowledgeable. What a fountain of information. You know, every time I listen to him, I learn something. And he's a true journalist, and you could see that there's no one else like that coming up, you know, and it's unfortunate. But But, I mean, we got to really treasure what we have now, and it's just amazing what he knows.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. He is impressive, and it's great to be able to talk to him.
I got a rant for you. You got a couple regulars that seem to call every show. They call Pastor Will. They call Tom. Two guys that tell you they know so much. All you hear from Frank from Woodbridge is about the family, all the mafia. Frank, if you knew anything about the mafia, they don't talk. And Tim, I don't know what's up with you, buddy. You sound like a guy that still lives home with mommy. He's never been married and have kids and just sits on the couch all day. That's it. Bye-bye.
That was a great call. Thank you so much.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Ned. The president, I mean, the governor of Connecticut. And I just want to clear up anything I might have said yesterday about jail system and the prisons and everything. It's really not that bad there. I mean, you know, you, when you have to go to court, they put you in this little ice cream truck and they transport you and they give you this big, ugly, I don't like it, bologna sandwich or liverwurst or something. I don't know what the heck. I don't know how anybody on that. So the moral of the story is stay out of jail and follow all the rules and don't worry about the police anymore. Just call them if there's an emergency or something.
All right. There's the governor for you, always rocking us.
Joe Biden says that they're going to be, that the federal government is going to pay to replace that bridge in Baltimore instead of having the giant mega shipping company pay for any of that work following the damage that they caused. Turns out, if you look at their website, it's full of rainbows and ESG pages, you know, book length, DEI page, a book length too. You know, and all the fur-brained policies that come with it. so they're not going to be paying for it. The American taxpayer is.
We pay for everything, don't we? It's incredible how it all gets dumped on us.
Hey, Todd, in today's Republican American, front page, abortion access on agenda. Officials call for guarantee of reproductive rights in state. I would like some Democrats to call in and explain who or what policy or what law is preventing any woman in the state of Connecticut from reproducing. Because try as I might, I can't think of any law there is that says you can't have a baby. What they're actually looking for is the killing of a baby. There is no reproduction in abortion. There's only death.
Wow, that is something. Hey, Mike in Plainville, what's going on? Talk fast, sir.
The bridge collapsed. No, it's a small miracle that bridge was built in 75, am I correct?
It sounds familiar. I don't recall the exact year. I'll believe you.
It's the first time the bridges come down or been hit by a large container ship. Think about that. And it brings up the fact that we are vulnerable. I was just my skeptical nature.
Mm-hmm.
After this bridge went down, I was waiting for another one to come down.
Oh, we would have yeah. It never occurred to me another one, Michael, but that doesn't mean I haven't been thinking about the degree to which we have those sorts of vulnerabilities and what a sweet thing it would be from a terrorist point of view to be able to pull off an attack like that.
Absolutely. What cities would you pick to divert the?
I don't want to present a fantasy. A fantasy about something so grotesque. But thank you, Mike, for making the point. 860-522-9842. Ian Stark is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Manning the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center today.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
WTIC, we've had a fascinating conversation tonight about having kids. And it's just so great how open and honest people are about the decisions they made in their lives and how they feel about those decisions. And it's remarkable. My bias has been that people who are, you know, large numbers of young people aren't having children the way they once did. It's about half of the rate of 70 years ago and below the rate that we can sustain our population. And I've assumed that this was a mistake, that young people would regret it. However, there have been some compelling calls this afternoon about, well, from people who decided not to have children and are quite happy with that decision late in life. And that's interesting to find out. And it's just, you know, there's something great about this format and something beautiful about people coming together in a kind of community center and being able to share things that you might not actually ever discuss with people close to you because they're afraid to ask. And we can ask you anything because we don't necessarily know each other. And that provides a sort of protection. Plus, people call in and use disguised names or locations or what have you so that it's less likely for people to identify their voices. So I just wanted to thank everybody for being willing to have that kind of conversation and to talk about the, you know, the idiosyncratic courses that individual lives take. It's there is an unlimited number of options for which step you take next. And people, the best, I suppose, was the first caller who said that he didn't have kids because he was afraid he'd have a kid like him. He was afraid he'd have a kid like himself who tortured his parents with fear over what he was going to do next and how he was going to shoot an eye out or crash a motorcycle or something like that. So those are just great stories. And thanks again for having him. And we'll do more topics like that moving forward. 860-522-9842. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to have a life story kind of conversation, I think, with Michael Leibowitz, our regular caller for the last 4 years, a regular guest on the show, who spent 25 years in prison and has been out for a little over a year. And we're going to talk to him about some tough stuff that's been going on with him. So stay with us as we do that. And right now we'll get you another traffic update. Ian Stark sitting in for Mark Christopher today in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Oh, it's in a sec. Let's check in with Dave in Litchfield first. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Todd. Interesting conversation about having kids. I thought about having kids. I mean, I'm middle-aged. I'm approaching my mid-50s, but I wasn't ready psychologically to have kids in my 20s or 30s.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were educators. My father was a school psychologist, and he worked part-time for DCF. And some people just shouldn't have kids. It's crazy. And, you know, as I have to
what was it you knew of, what was it you knew about yourself that, that made you think that you weren't ready for it?
I was just finding myself. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. I tried a bunch of different careers and everything. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want to take care of kids. Didn't have the patience, couldn't see, you know, cleaning up after them or anything. Now I think I could. But I have to find a partner who's younger, more fertile. And as far as that guy was going off on you about, you know, Section 8 and everything, and I blame Lyndon Johnson and the Democrats and the Great Society programs for all the chaos in the inner cities. You start paying people to have illegitimate children. And I have an uncle who used to say, idle hands breed mischief. And, boy, that's true. I mean, what a mess, you know.
Agreed, Dave. Thank you so much for the call. Michael Leibowitz is here. Michael has been, after 25 years in prison, he's been out for about, 15 months, Mike?
Oh, God, I don't know. We'll go with that. Roughly 15 months.
Okay. So you want to give us a report?
Well, I'm in absolute hell. I can tell you that. My girlfriend, whom I fell in love with while I was still in prison, I've known her for, you know, quite some time, and I fell in love with her while I was in prison, and she recently died from lung cancer, and it's the worst feeling that I've ever had in my entire existence. I mean, the highs that I had with her and the love that we shared were well worth it, and I wouldn't trade them for anything. And I actually am very grateful to you, because I remember when I first felt that I fell in love with her, and I only been talking to her on the phone for 2 weeks, although I had known her, I hadn't spoken to her in a long time. And you told me when you find love, you grab it, and you don't worry about, you know,
the circumstances.
And I'm just thinking, like, imagine had I said, no, I can't rush into this thing, and let me be patient and take my time, and just how much wasted time that there would have been as a result of that. You know what I mean?
Well, that's an amazing way to look back on it, having been going through torture. This is only for how long since the cancer diagnosis came? This was fast.
She got, we knew she was very sick. February 5th, I know that the date because I happened to see she posted on
Facebook
so when
less
she
than,
was admitted into the hospital.
Less than 2 months and she's gone.
Yeah.
It's remarkable how sudden that was, and how it was. She was deathly ill with the diagnosis, and you know, it seemed to you, I think, fairly early that the chances of survival weren't great.
Well, almost immediately they told her that it was stage 4 lung cancer that had metastasized to her brain, and it seemed it had also spread to her bones. And I mean, I knew I did a little research, and I was hoping for best case scenarios, you know, but I mean, the odds I knew were slim. There were some things in her favor, and she was such a fighter, and she just put her little body. I mean, she was 93 pounds and she underwent every painful procedure, every test, everything she needed to do.
She was a very tough person.
And it was for her son. Like, she just didn't want her son, her beautiful little boy, she didn't want him to lose her mother, his mother. You know what mm-hmm. I mean, Todd? So she was willing to do things that, I don't know, you know, if I was in that situation, if I'm doing that. Like, it was tough. I mean, getting blood drawn every 2 hours, her arms were covered in black and blues. She had to get a bone biopsy, which, from what I understand, they're extremely painful.
Oh,
and it was tough.
That must be agonizing.
Yeah, and she did it all. She did it all. Multiple MRIs, you know, those are, they're not painful, but they're not comfortable either. And she just fought until the end. And I mean, like I said, I mean, I've been through a lot of loss in my life, and nothing even approaches this. And I did a podcast episode yesterday. She really wanted me to keep up with my life as normal. She didn't want her diagnosis to, screw up my dreams and screw up what I wanted to do. And it's easier said than done. You know what I mean? To keep going. But, like this interview now, I got to be honest, I am not like super motivated to do it. But
right.
They've set up a GoFundMe page for her son. And I really would like people to give to it. I gave her my word that I would look after her son my entire life. And I plan to do everything that I can for him. And that includes promoting the GoFundMe page that they set up for his future.
Yeah. So if you want to help with, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but that's really what this story is all about, is that Mike has been a caretaker for Vinny over the past several months, and he's been putting tons of love and tons of hours into that effort. And now that Melissa's died, it it creates a difficult situation financially. So they've set up a GoFundMe page, as Mike said. And if you search, I searched donations for Melissa GoFundMe, and the page popped up number one on the search. So
okay, there was also a GoFundMe page that somebody else previously set up for Melissa and me, and that's. I'm not promoting that. So if that comes up, it seems it doesn't. If you just look up GoFundMe for Melissa's son, I'm sure it would come up. They could go to my Facebook page, Michael Leibowitz. It's pinned to the top of my page. They could also find it there.
Okay. And what can you say about lessons that you have learned through this experience? Because you obviously feel great pain and going through something horrible, but you said that, isn't it wonderful that you got to have this experience and that you think about what if you had made a different decision and not pursued the relationship with Melissa after falling in love so quickly with her while you were still in prison? How do you have that attitude even as you're just in the beginning of the mourning process for her, I would think?
Well, this mourning, it's a very strange thing because the pain I feel, it's like on one hand, Todd, I want it to just go away right now. There's another part of me that never wants it to go away because I feel, and I use that word purposely, that if I stopped suffering, it would somehow minimize my love for her.
Yeah, your connection.
Yeah, logically, I know that's not the case. Logically, I understand what she wanted from me, that she, the life she wanted from me. But it's difficult, especially after, she only died a couple days ago. It's difficult to look at it that way. You know, she said to me once, Todd, we were having a conversation once while I was still incarcerated, and the subject of death came up, and she told me that she would want me to die first. And I thought that was weird because usually people say it the opposite way. I want to go before you. But she told me she wanted me to go. And I said, what? Why? And she said, because I would never want you to have to deal with the pain of losing me. And she was so right about that. Mm-hmm. It's something like I've lost my mother, my father. None of that even approximates what I'm feeling now.
What about what you're going through surprises you or isn't going the way you would have thought?
I don't know because I never really thought about it. I never even would have figured such a thing could happen. I just know that I love her and I fell in love with Vinny as quickly as I fell in love with her. He's a remarkable little boy. And she put me in charge of taking care of him so that she can work. It was a decision that we made so that we could move in together. She can work, and taking care of him just taught me so much. Just loving that little kid, like changing his diaper, for instance, like that's something. If you had asked me before, would you change a kid's diaper? Like, no, I have no interest in doing that. You know what I mean? But it was effortless. to do it for him because I loved him so much. I mean, I love him so much, I should say. You know, he's not with me every day any longer. He's with his dad, who loves him very much. And, you know, his dad is a very hard worker and does what he can to take care of him. But none of us are wealthy, and that's ultimately why Melissa's friend set up the page for Vinny.
Yep.
So I think that, like, there's degree to which, if I had to say a lesson, Todd, I have learned, it's just how much I have to process about my life, about the trajectory I thought my life was on. Everything is different now, you know, like where
you
I'm
mean
live,
because of
I'm
the loss
do.
Of Melissa, the adjustment that you have to make.
Yes. And I have to process the last month and a half, you know, or nearly 2 months since her diagnosis, because while I'm here involved in it, it's difficult to process the news. And with each step, it's another thing. You got to worry about this test and that test. And what's the diagnosis? What's the treatment going to be? And what's her emotional state like? What's my emotional state like? How to interact? And there's just no time to really just sit back and understand what's happening.
Yeah. It's a big thing, that the hugest thing that you can go through in life, I think, that you're going through right now, and it's happening so fast. When you think about how slowly your life went during your 25 years of incarceration, with basically nothing happening in terms of being able to make movement happen,
yeah,
to make progress through your life, and then you get out and you have this, you know, you're already in love and you have the chance to set up a life together. And then at about the 1 year mark out of prison, and you guys are finally moved in together, I think, and then suddenly you get a diagnosis, and 2 months later she's gone. It's just amazing the speed with which this life outside for you is operating.
More than one person has told me that I've lived a lifetime in a year, you know,
yeah.
And I think it's true. And I also think that from, you know, ultimately you can never know what another person's feeling or what other people's relationships are, because it's between them. But from what I understand from the human beings that I've talked to in my life, from the stories I've read and the stories I've seen, it's very few people, it seems, get to experience a really great love. And I've experienced that, and I'll never regret it. You know, the pain is atrocious, but worth it. And I would do it again and again and again and again, because that love, to have somebody that I trusted implicitly, that I knew would never hurt me and never lie to me, never betray me, it was just an amazing feeling. And what I would say to her is, you know, we could be in the room together and not say a word, and it was just comforting knowing she was there. And when she hugged me, I'd never felt safer in my whole life. I mean, you're talking about a 5-foot-tall, 5-foot-1, 93-pound girl. And when she hugged me, I felt safe like never before. And that's something that I will never regret.
Yeah, that was the
moment.
The steely quality of her nature. So search, if you can help out with a donation, doesn't matter how small, go to, just do a Google search, donations for Melissa GoFundMe, and for me it popped right up, donations for Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, GoFundMe.
Yeah, if my name won't be there at all, this has nothing to do with me at all. I didn't set it up.
Money doesn't go to you.
No, it has nothing to do with me at all. Melissa's friend set it up. It's for Melissa's autistic son, for him to have a future. That's what it's for.
Leibowitz, you are a courageous man, and you know, you live life the way I think you need to live it, which is to embrace it fully and to keep marching forward no matter how strong the headwinds are. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Todd. You have a good night, okay?
Thank you for being here, Michael, and for making the pitch for Vinny's future. That's Michael Leibowitz. He's been coming on the air with us for 4 years or so, and it's all been fascinating. When he was behind bars and reporting to us on the nature of prison and the nature of his experiences there and his analysis of what it tells us about government and all that stuff, and coming to know somebody incarcerated and how that experience plays out. You know, it's just different when you're talking with somebody who's behind bars and you hear the beep on the phone and you feel the I don't know, there's like a, you know, when you pick up a shell on the beach and you put it up to your ear and there's that sound of the bigness of how empty it is, that echoey, empty sound you have. And there was something like that about our calls when he was in prison. And there's a different kind of big emptiness now that is still grand, and still Michael fills up that space beautifully. So it's great to have him on. Google search donations for Melissa. GoFundMe. Put the GoFundMe right after donations for Melissa. It doesn't matter if you have spaces or don't, I don't think. For me, it was the first one that popped up. Donations for Melissa, GoFundMe. Google search that, make a donation if you can, and check out the site either way, okay? And we will see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for being here. Call the Rant Line, 860-751-4698. We'll turn you over to Ian Stark.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.